Good Sunday morning to everyone. Hi, this is Steve Sappington. Welcome to Enriching People's Lives on this first Sunday in 2010. Glad you've joined us today. We hope everybody's getting ready to go to church, or you've already been this weekend. And we want to speak blessings on you that 2010 is your best year yet. Not your best year ever, but your best year yet. And that you'll do great things in every area of your life. That you'll receive God's very best in every area of your life. So welcome to today's show. Again, the name of the show, if you're this is your first time to tune in, the name of the show is Enriching People's Lives. That's actually a phrase that we have trademarked. If you go to one of our websites, twmgroupllc.com, we trademarked that, Enriching People's Lives, not just their finances. We think it would be a tragedy if we were to help someone make money through an investment or something, and yet they lose their own soul, or they lose their family, or they lose their peace or their joy. So we try to deal with the whole person, including the spiritual person, the spiritual aspect of the person. So, again, Happy New Year to you. We want to congratulate our latest winner. I didn't ask her if I could use her name, so I won't say that, but we did have a person call in. So, again, we'll remind you that this coming week, the first person who calls me or emails us, we'll give you a free copy of our book. The name of the book is Today's Word on Money, and you can go to the website to find out more about it. The website for the book is todayswordonmoney.com. That's today's with an S, T-O-D-A-Y-S, word, W-O-R-D, on, O-N, money, M-O-N-E-Y.com. And you can sign up for our newsletters there. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can read newsletters. You can listen to these previous broadcasts. We began our show back in November, so we've got about 10 broadcasts now that you can listen to on your own, so that if you can't make it on to hear it live, or to hear it on Sunday mornings, you can listen to it really any time of the day you'd like. You can also read samples from our book, sample chapters. You can read some testimonials from folks who have read the book. You can, of course, you can buy the book, and it's in PDF form, so it's we can email it to you electronically if you purchase the book. So we do want to congratulate our recent winner. She gave me a call and had a good visit with her. So today, again, since it's the first day in the new year, I want to read you a sample from our book, Today's Word on Money. The book is an examination of it's a 40-day study that looks at the spiritual components of today's financial problems. And I hope you'll agree with me that the problems we have in America today can't be solved with just more money or more debt. But we've got some spiritual issues that we need to address. And like God's Word says in Second Chronicles, if my people, that God's people who are called by His name, will humble themselves and pray and seek His face and repent, turn from their wicked ways, that He will, He says, He promises, He will hear from heaven, He will heal our land, forgive our sins. So that's my prayer, that that would happen, beginning with me. That we would seek the Lord. You know, I would encourage you to take some time this week, you know, the beginning of the year, do some praying and fasting, get away from the cell phone, get away from the emails, computers, and the phone ringing and everything, and just take some time and say, okay, Lord, what do you want my priorities to look like in 2010? And ask Him that daily, you know, Lord, what are my priorities for today? And, you know, a lot of times He'll give me something might be just one word. It might be something I need to do to remember. It'll bring something to mind. So, again, you need to have a little longer range so that you know what your longer range objectives are for the year. But you know, break it down, you know, by month or by quarter, or by week and by day, and then make sure every day that you're on track. Say, okay, Lord, is there some additional knowledge or additional wisdom that I need to gain or hear from you to accomplish that long-range priority that you gave me for the year? And, of course, we want to talk to you about joy. I just have been catching myself lately over the past couple of months, just sometimes, even though things might not be going great or, you know, the best, in fact, sometimes when it's not, but still having that joy, just thanking God for the life He's given me, for the blessings that He's given me, and the peace and the knowledge that, you know, no matter what comes my way, God is He's in control, and that He can handle it. It doesn't take Him by surprise, and that He's got a solution. And we're going to talk about some ways that Christians can, if we listen to God, we can come up with some solutions that non-believers or unbelievers, they can't have, because they can't tap into the Holy Spirit. They can't tap into God's wisdom. And so, again, we should be the biggest, most aggressive goal setters out there. We should, because, again, we should be setting goals that we can't accomplish on our own. They can only happen if we seek God and His wisdom. And so Christians should be looking for the solutions to problems that unbelievers, they've even given up on or think is impossible. I mean, if you look through the Bible, look at all the times when God put His super on our natural and solve things. I mean, you can talk about crossing the Red Sea, or Daniel in the lion's den, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Just so many instances where if God hadn't showed up, people would have been in terrible shape. And so, but thank God He does show up, and He will show up. He's not too often is He early, but He's never late. He's always on time, and He loves us, and He's got a great plan for our lives. So I was talking to the person, in fact, I've had this comment several times, when I meet someone and begin to talk to them, they ask me if I'm a preacher, and when I tell them I'm a financial consultant, sometimes it surprises them. But again, we should, all of us should be so full of the Lord that, and again, I've got lots of improvement that I need to make, but I do try to, I was bold when I was a sinner, and was blaspheming when I was, denouncing God and wasn't letting Him be Lord my life. So if I was bold then, I can certainly be bold for Him instead of bold against Him. And so, we all need to look for opportunities, look for ways that we can bring His wisdom, bring His love and joy and peace, all of His attributes, His wisdom, into our lives and into our work, into our family, into every area of life. And again, we're going to talk about seven key components of our culture that God wants to see transformed, and He's chosen to use us to transform these entities. And if we don't do it, then sad to say, so many Christians thought that all that was needed or required of us was to show up on church maybe for an hour or two a week, and instead of really daily seeking His word and His direction for every year of our life, all the time, not just on Sunday. And what's happened then is that we were just as baffled at many times by problems or situations as unbelievers were. And that shouldn't be that. They should be seeking us out because we have solutions. I mean, look at Joseph. Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, he didn't know what those dreams meant, but praise God, Joseph did, because God revealed it to him. And so he provided a solution. So we should be listening for God's direction and His wisdom so that we can present solutions. And guess what? When that happens, then God is lifted up, and He says when He's lifted up, He'll draw people to Him. So we should be doing that in our lives, whether it's in education or our family or in government or business or the arts and entertainment, all these different areas. So, I was watching TBN, which is Channel 45 here in Waco. I was watching it the other night, and James Brown was on, not the James Brown that passed away here a year or so ago, but the James Brown that you see on CBS on. He's one of the hosts for the football games, and he's a believer, loves the Lord, and he has some great wisdom. He said that one of the things that he learned is that you need to have depth before you can have height. And what he meant by that is that if you, for example, if you look at a tall building, that tall building has to have a very significant foundation so that it doesn't fall over. And so it's the same thing with in our lives. You know, if we have some aspirations or some lofty goals and things we'd like to accomplish, we cannot expect to make those happen if we don't go deep with God. And that's something the Lord's been challenging me on. I have some things that I believe He wants me to accomplish, but I also believe that He's telling me that I need to spend more time with Him, to seek Him more urgently and more desperately, because without Him, these things won't be accomplished. So I would encourage you, again, that as you're taking some time this first part of the year, you know, it's better to, I think, to seek God the first part of the year and get some direction than it is to, you know, wake up and it's December and then you're asking God what went wrong. So let's all get together and ask Him, you know, Lord, what do you want us to do? I mean, these are fascinating times, just, you know, they're fraught with peril. But again, as the darkness gets darker, then praise God, His light gets brighter, and if we will tap into it. But again, God is a gentleman. He's not going to force us to do things His way. But my goodness, how much better is it? I know from personal experience for many, many years and many, many situations that when I didn't seek the Lord's way, it seemed like it was right at the time and maybe even was a lot of fun. But it leads to heartache. So, you know, let's seek the Lord first, rather than after we've already messed up. So what I want to share with you today, again, I've got, I don't know if any of you have heard of Steve Harvey. Some of you may have seen his TV show. He's a black comedian, done very well, successfully, and but he loves the Lord. I mean, he would be the first person to claim he's not perfect, and but he does take a great deal of effort to say that, you know, the success that he has is because of the Lord. And so we're going to play a little 3-minute thing. We're going to see how this comes out, if we can pick it up on our microphone. You can go to YouTube, for those of you who have internet access. Just go to YouTube.com and type in Steve Harvey Introduces Jesus. And it's a great little 3-minute thing. And again, I want you to see it as something that's, as he says, it's how he would do it. You know, it doesn't mean that everything is, you know, totally accurate from a biblical standpoint, or that's the way you would introduce Jesus. But again, it just is fascinating. If you get a chance, watch this on YouTube, because, I mean, by the end of this 3 minutes, he has the crowd just on their feet, just roaring because of the glory that he, you know, the way, the bold way that he introduces Jesus. So here we go. I'm going to crank this up, and hopefully you'll be able to hear this.
If I had the pleasure of bringing out Christ, this is just how I would do it. It ain't got to be the way you do it. You might not think it's just right, but this is how I would do it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce a man who needs no introduction. His credits are too long to list. He has done the impossible time after time. He hailed out of a manger in Bethlehem, Jerusalem, by way of heaven. His mother is still headlining in the Catholic Church today. His daddy is the author of a book that has been on the bestseller list since the beginning of time. He holds the record for the world's greatest fish fry. He can walk on water, was comedy. He was hailed the king of all kings, ruler of the universe, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the bright and the morning star. Some say he's the Rose of Sharon, and some say he's the Prince of Peace. Get up on your feet, put your hands together, and show your love for the second coming of the one and only.
Well, there you go. I hope you could hear that. Again, if you get a chance, please watch that on YouTube. I just was very impressed. And again, one of the things that really impressed me is I saw Steve Harvey on TBN a week or two ago, and he talked about being tenderhearted toward the things of God. You know, he just was so thankful for all God had done for him, and he was the first to admit that, you know, he's messed up. He's been married, I don't know, two or three times, and but he said, you know, that he was looking for the wrong thing. And so that really blessed me to see how he wants the Lord to use him. And he moves in circles and knows a lot of famous people in the entertainment world that he said, you know, he's talked with them about God. And so anyway, I thought it was very interesting. So I hope you enjoyed that. Hope you could hear it. And We'll see how that came out on the recording. If it works out well, we've got some other fun things that we can share with you from YouTube. I want to read to you now some excerpts out of my book. This was written for New Year's Day, and the title of it is Your Best Year Yet. And so again, this is from my book, Today's Word on Money. Remind you that if you would like a free copy of this book, the first one who calls or emails us will get a copy. And the phone number is 751-0565. And the email is sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com. Or you can go to www.todayswordonmoney.com and then click on the tab that says Contact, and that will automatically pull up my email address. So, your best year yet. Today, you may be watching parades or football games, thinking about a new exercise program, or enjoying time with family and friends. I encourage you to spend some time today asking yourself two things. Then write your answers down and put them in action every day this year, 2010. Number one, what can I improve this year to bring more glory to God and to walk in more of the good things that God has planned for me? And as a side note there, that's referring to Ephesians 2:10 and Jeremiah 29:11. Second question, what habits or behaviors should I get rid of this year so that I go from, quote, glory to glory, as God's Word says, and so I don't cause someone else to sin? Now, I know these are tough questions, but I think you'll agree that if you take the time today and maybe even for the week to do some serious soul searching, then this year could be your best year yet. Let me share with you a few thought-provoking questions to get you started. First of all, should you eat or drink more of something and less or none of something else? For example, I recently read of a study which showed that simply eliminating soft drinks, even diet sodas, was one of the four top predictors of longevity in women. For this question and for the next two, my pastor has a great quote. He says, Christians should not have evangelical minds and pagan bodies. Christians should not have evangelical minds and pagan bodies. Next question, do you dress appropriately? Is your attire modest, or have you bought into Hollywood's lies? It amazes me sometimes when even Christian women want men to respect them for their minds, and then they expose massive amounts of their bodies. So, Christian women, please don't cause your Christian brothers to stumble. Seek God's approval, not the approval of people. And men, ask yourselves this. Are you avoiding everything that can cause you to stumble sexually? If pornography is a temptation, have you installed whatever you need on your computer to block what you should not view? If not, get rid of your computer, or don't stay at hotels with black boxes, or get accountability partners, or whatever it takes. My good friend Terry Moyen has a ministry that can help. Go to www.settingcaptivesfree. That's setting, S-E-T-T-I-N-G, captives, C-A-P-T-I-V-E-S, free, F-R-E-E.com. Terry tells me that since our culture is so loose morally, it's hard for men to avoid that first look at an improperly dressed woman. But a committed Christian then quickly looks away and doesn't look a second time. So God help us. Number four, do you invest in companies that profit from or support activities which are not in concert with your moral and biblical values? A biblical advisor will have access to information that can help you answer that question. Number five, if you're married, do you pray with your spouse? I recently heard that Christian couples experience about the same divorce rate as non-Christian couples, approximately one out of every two marriages, or 50%. But for Christian couples who pray together, guess what? Only one in 1,000 get divorced. So, if those five questions don't fire you up, then you're wood wet. As my friend Dan Stratton says, may this be your best year yet. Not your best year ever, but your best year yet. The scripture for today's chapter is Mark 12, 29 to 31. Jesus answered, the foremost commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And so that's an excerpt from New Year's Day. Again, we have a 40-day study that examines the spiritual components of today's financial problems. And then I threw in or included some bonus chapters dealing with several of the best-known holidays that we celebrate here in America. So I hope you enjoyed that. And again, if you'd like to read other samples, you can go to todayswordonmoney.com. And if you enjoyed it enough, you can order the book. The book is only $12.95 plus tax here in Texas. So go there and you can, if you have a PayPal account, you can order the book there online. Okay, I'm going to share with you also, this is if you'll go to YouTube and type in Reclaim, that's R-E-C-L-A-I-M, just the number 7, Mountains of Culture. And this is it's about a 5-minute video that we'll at least do some of it. I'm going to read part of it because you probably can't hear it all. Over 30 years ago, God gave three men a vision. The first man was Lauren Cunningham, the founder of YWAM, Youth with a Mission, Bill Bright, founder of Campus Crusade, and Francis Schaeffer, the theologian and founder of LaBrie. The vision was a description on how to advance the kingdom of God in this generation.
It was August 1975, and the Lord had given me that day a list of things that I had never thought about before. He said, this is the way to reach America and nations for God.
In every city of the world, an unseen battle rages for dominion over God's creation and the souls of people. This battle is fought on 7 strategic fronts, looming like mountains over the culture to shape and influence its destiny. Over the years, the church slowly retreated from its place of influence on these mountains, leaving a void now filled with darkness. When we lose our influence, we lose the culture, and when we lose the culture, we fail to advance the kingdom of God. And now, a generation stands in desperate need. It's time to fight for them and take back these mountains of influence. The mountain of government, where evil is either restrained or endorsed. The mountain of education, where truths or lies about God and His creation are taught. The mountain of media, where information is interpreted through the lens of good or evil. the mountain of arts and entertainment, where values and virtue are celebrated or distorted. The mountain of religion, where people worship God in spirit and truth, or settle for a religious ritual. The mountain of family, where either the blessing or a curse is passed on to successive generations. And the one mountain they all depend on, the mountain that fuels and funds all the other mountains. The mountain of business, where people build for the glory.
So that's the seven mountains that I wanted to make sure that you know about. The last mountain they mentioned was business, and again, from that business is what flows the the commerce, the money, the things that fund everything else, whether it's the taxes to pay government or education or to purchase media, whether it's movies or whether it's newspapers or magazines or radio, TV, arts and entertainment, religion, family, and then business. So those are the seven mountains. So I really hope you'll, there are several other nice, very helpful educational videos there when you pull up that one site and just type in the seven mountains. And, Lance Wallnau is a Messianic Jew who has got some great information on this that if you'd like to find out more, I can share some more information with you about this topic. But again, so often I've seen people in various walks of life, whether it's an attorney or a CPA or a financial advisor or whatever, even though they may be Christian, they haven't thought about all the ramifications of how they should do business differently than how they learned in school. And so it's one thing to have an advisor who's a Christian. It's another thing to have a biblical advisor who has studied and helps you to apply God's wisdom to whatever area you're looking at, whether it's your health or your spiritual condition, all those areas. So I hope you'll hope that blessed you. I hope you'll look some more at that. And one other thing that I would just quickly, I won't tell you the whole story, but just tell you here in the last couple of minutes as we wrap up, is that I hope that you will. I hope that two characteristics will prevail and will be very high on your list this year, and that's forgiveness and repentance. The Bible says we need to be quick to forgive and quick to repent. And so I just know that I've seen many times once I did that, once I forgave someone or once I repented, God can use me. And it's the same with all of us. So please, again, during this quiet time that I'm encouraging you to take, spend some time asking God if there's something that you need to repent for or if there's someone that you need to forgive. You've heard me say before that my pastor, Jimmy Seibert at Antioch, he says that unforgiveness or being mad at somebody, that's like if you swallow poison and then you wait for the person that you're mad at, wait for them to get sick. It doesn't work that way. So, unforgiveness hurts us more than it does the person that we won't forgive. So I really hope you'll start this new year off with things right spiritually, with the fruit of the Spirit. So thanks for tuning in today. We enjoyed being with you. We hope that this has been a blessing to you. If so, please tell other people about the show. Tell them about our website. If they missed today's show, they can hear it here in a couple of days on our website. Go to todayswordonmoney.com. So again, this has been Enriching People's Lives. And I'm Steve Sappington. I hope that 2010 is your best year yet. As Timothy says, 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that you have heard from me, commit them to others so that they may be able to teach others as well. So the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to others who will be able to teach others also. So again, it's a multiplier. So thanks for tuning in to Enriching People's Lives. Give us a call if we can be of assistance, if you'd like to hear more about some of these ideas. Or if you'd like to find out more about our book, the number is 751-0565. This is Steve Sappington. Again, see you next week. Look forward to visiting to you. May the Lord bless you.